Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Deanna Mueller-Crispin, Mr. Mayor, Council. I'm concerned about the mindset in the proposed plan equating population density with super high residential buildings. The need for more housing density does not create a need for the proposed increased building heights, which are increased would be increased by FARs for the West End. The Central City Plan projects 64,000 households, or about 200,000 people in the Central City by 2035. The plan covers 4.6 square miles. This equates to about 43,500 people per square mile. As an example to help reach that density, the plan proposes by increasing FAR ratios up to 8 to 1 to allow 250-foot-tall buildings in much of the West End. This is the height of the 26-story Benson Tower. These bonus heights extend clear to the park blocks. Compare this to Paris, France, with its predominantly 8-story-tall buildings about 80 feet tall. Paris's population density is 55,500 people per square mile. At the population density of Paris's 8-story buildings, our projected Central City residents in 2035 could be accommodated in 3.5, not 4.6 square miles. Surely we do not need super tall buildings to house our projected 2035 population. Also, higher buildings contradict affordability. You've heard that already. Allowing increased heights has two pernicious effects. It encourages demolition of older affordable buildings, often with historic character, and always results in much higher rents in the new high-rises, thwarting the plan's call for affordability in new housing. The West End has over 100 historic buildings, almost all of them low-rises, with affordable rents. These buildings will be especially vulnerable with the proposed zoning, FAR height increases. Demolition and reconstruction is an environmentally wasteful process. The plan's commitment to sustainability should include policies to discourage, not encourage, demolitions.
Thank you. Appreciate both of you. Next three, please.
Are Lawrence Kamar, Kevin Johnson, and it's probably Kyle Johnson. And they'll be followed by 105, 106, and 107, Sherry Salomon, Steve Salomon, and Daniel Salomon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for having us here today. Last week, I remember Commissioner Udaly, you asked for, I believe, illustrations to think about these building heights and to actually visualize it, because we're talking about numbers so often that we can't really understand what we're physically experiencing and feeling. So I have a few diagrams I'll leave for you to be able to study later. I've had a growing concern about Portland's rush to join
the ranks. Could you put your name in the record, please?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Lawrence Kamar.
Thank you.
I'm an architect and town planner. My firm is Kamar & Associates.
Thank you.
I've had a growing concern over Portland's rush to join the ranks of skyscraper cities. The Central City 2035 plan embodies that dollars-in-the-eye vision and has serious defects in my mind regarding these issues of height. Much taller than a ratio of 1 to 1 being the building height to the width of the street space. This is a very basic way of creating an illustration, is with your own hands. Results in a building that looms over people strolling on the sidewalk below. Again, I'm saying a 1 to 1 is sort of a maximum. 1 to 3 gets much more suburban, you could say. Yes, on an average, a 60-foot right-of-way, buildings towering over 80 feet increasingly destroy the character and quality of place historically experienced on the streets of Portland. Many may not notice the impacts of these 150-foot and taller plus buildings until it's too late. I encourage you to incorporate more prescriptive form-based coding, of which there's a foundation here in the codes already, such as upper-story facade setbacks as a way to still allow taller buildings, but adhere to a standard of that maximum 1-to-1 street-to-height ratio. You've heard plenty of testimony not to increase building heights since it promotes teardowns of existing affordable housing and historic architecture. The notion that some historic buildings could be saved by transferring FARs to nearby parcels is highly concerning for me, as it will only exacerbate an erratic height differential rather than building mass that is based on that human-scaled civic space. I'm speaking not only from an analytical mind that focuses on the statistics, economic analysis, housing targets, and employment numbers, but I urge you to allow your intuitive, perceptual minds to make decisions too. The side that perceives the character, quality, and shape of urban space, which in turn encourages cultural placemaking in livelier neighborhoods. Don't let developers lead all our land use decisions. Stop counting beans, which inadvertently encourages citywide demolitions and redevelopments in order to achieve an abstract regional housing density goal. Let's not rush forward increasing building heights without a sense of how that alters the very quality of civic spaces in our streets.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Kyle Johnson, and I'm one of the founders of the Friends of the Green Loop. Our group's goal is to bring energy from the public and eventually help raise private contributions to make the Green Loop something that engages and inspires all Portlanders. When Portlanders rose up to stop the Mount Hood Freeway in 1974, our city was a leader in rethinking cities not as places to travel as fast as possible from one end to another, but as places that we want to be in. Places that enrich the human experience and make us feel connected to one another. Roads are our largest public space. Let's make sure this space is used to connect community rather than divide it. 7 years ago, I took the streetcar through South Waterfront when it didn't really exist, and we went by the tram, and there were about 50 bicycles parked there. A couple years later, I came up with the idea to get a camper trailer and park it down there and start fixing bikes. And now we run the largest bicycle valet in North America, and the tram is the more people bike to the bottom of the tram than anywhere else in North America. And that's all because I was inspired by seeing people using space kind of differently. And that's what I hope that the Green Loop continues to do for other Portlanders. I'm confident that projects like the Green Loop that encourage people to engage with their sense of place in a positive way will always be worth the investment. We live in a world whose rules and structures are built by our parents and previous generations. However, our children get to live in the world that by some small and large measurements will be determined by us in this room today. Let us build the best possible world for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Augustine Enriquez, a principal at GBD Architects. I have provided written testimony with more detail that you have. I will summarize it quickly. I'm here today requesting the same building height limits for an 8-acre site called River Place as exist at the adjacent South Waterfront subdistrict of Portland Central City. Those heights in South Waterfront are between 150 and 325 feet. The site is south of the River Place Marina and west of northwest of Poets Beach. In addition, we are also seeking a special opportunity for a 400-foot height iconic building within the redevelopment. We are not requesting additional density. Rather, we are seeking more design flexibility in the form of additional building heights to achieve that density. The additional height will also allow us to achieve the following: up to 500 affordable housing units, a world-class gathering place that combines mixed-use urban environment with nature, open and available to all of Portland's citizens and visitors. Thinner profile towers that allow for more light and air between the buildings and for more views through the site, effectively creating a more visually porous development, and redevelopment that maximizes the public's investment in existing infrastructure with a 3 million gross square feet high-density mixed-use development. That density is already allowed at FAR. We're simply looking for more height to achieve a more flexible design. In conclusion, the property owner for the River Place development site is requesting an increase in height from its proposed CC 2035 150 and 200-foot height across the site to a range of maximum height limits commensurate with the nearby South Waterfront neighborhood, 150 feet to 325 feet, with one special opportunity for a 400-foot-tall iconic building. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
The next three are Sherry, Steve, and Daniel Solomon. And they'll be followed by 108, Roger Leachman, 113, Patty Tillett, and 115, Dan Petrosic.
Hi. I would like to ask, just read my, could I read my husband's 2 minutes of testimony? He had to leave. He wasn't feeling well. So,
go ahead.
Thank
yes.
you. Stan, why don't you come over here close to me?
Okay.
Okay. I'm Sherry Salomon. I live at the Vista St. Clair in Goose Hollow as a renter. I am also on the board of the GHFL, which represents our neighborhood and my interests as a citizen. My family is here today to ask for City Council to save historic buildings in Goose Hollow, save public views, and to remind you of ethics problems. The Ombudsman found huge financial conflicts of interest with West Quadrant Stakeholders Advisory Committee, SAC, members who, as public officials, promoted their own financial interests and advocated for increased heights and relaxed zoning on their own properties or properties they had financial connections to. Residents who attended the West Croton meetings repeatedly told staff their concerns that they saw flagrant financial conflicts during the West Quadrant process. Planning Bureau staff scornfully dismissed those concerns. One, a developer on the SAC sent emails to staff saying that they forgot to raise height limits on those blocks, which, as it turns out, to be their own properties. Two, a current Planning Commission member who was on SAC had many years of paid work trying to get the parking structure at Southwest 10th and Morrison redeveloped, yet advocated for that redevelopment to be made a West Quadrant priority, claiming it wasn't a conflict. Three, a developer who owns many properties in Goose Hollow advocated to remove the required residential overlay, relax zoning, and raise heights in Goose Hollow, benefiting himself. Staff told concerned residents that these weren't conflicts. They clearly were. Conflicted SAC members will gain approximately $50 to $100 million in increased profits because of increased heights they voted to give themselves. Planning staff, SAC members, and the Planning Commission ignored the Ombudsman's requirement for SAC members to disclose their financial conflicts. You can fix this by refusing to give conflicted SAC members the heights they gained unethically. I'm going on to read my husband's. Our family testified at the Planning Commission. We were stunned to learn that it didn't matter, that much of the testimony was against these conflicts. The commission ignored the outpouring of public testimony and voted to give conflicted SAC members millions of dollars from serving on SAC and steering policy their way. According to the Northwest Examiner, Commissioner Saltzman owns many properties in the central city but did not recuse himself from voting to approve the West Quadrant plank that he is not, and he is not recusing himself right now from voting on CC 2035, which will increase the value of his properties by millions by raising heights. He is violating state ethics laws. Portlanders are repulsed by this way of doing business. Please vote for Commissioner Pritz's amendment to lower bridgehead heights, which will help address heights that were gained unethically. Other properties gained heights unethically as well. We also believe the public views should not be privatized. They should be kept public. Please vote for the mayor's amendment so that they will save views at the Japanese Garden and save views at Salmon Spring Fountain. The Planning Commission chair said she didn't think there was a view of Mount Hood at Salmon Springs Fountain. That's interesting. She lives in Lake Oswego and apparently doesn't know this basic fact about Portland. Yet she heads the commission that votes on heights and views. Salmon Springs Fountain is visited by thousands of tourists each year who add millions of dollars to our economy and thousands of jobs. You will only need to lower heights on 18 properties to save the last view of Mount Hood from the riverbank. Please keep it this view from being privatized. We also need amendments for other views. Daniel?
Yes. Can you start the clock for me again? Okay. I'm Daniel Salomon, a Section 8 renter who feels very proud that the Goose Hollow Board is one half low income and one half renters. My board makes sure that my voice isn't silenced or made invisible. The Rose Garden simply requires adding the downtown skyline as a focal point on all views and listing all as prohibited. No heights need to be lowered. The view of Mount Hood from the Vista Bridge will only be of the snow cap. We're asking to save today's view, which shows a beautiful contrast between the low slopes and the snow cap. The Vista Bridge is one of Portland's most important views. It will only take lowering heights 48 feet on 8 properties to save today's view. We love the views of the Vista Bridge, which can be seen from many parts of the city. Please reject this draft, which allows buildings to block the bridge. Please lower heights for 4 blocks next to the bridge and keep the current view corridor from I-405 down Southwest Jefferson so that the views of the bridge won't be privatized. For those of us who aren't rich enough to live in a building blocking views of the bridge, we shouldn't have to stand in the middle of the street underneath the bridge to see the arch. Please save 9 historical buildings in Goose Hollow by lowering heights on these properties along and near Southwest Morrison. These include the Timothy Center and the historic Concordia Club, a Jewish social organization formed when Jews weren't allowed membership in the Mac and the Arlington Club. The 325 feet heights will incentivize their demolition. Please lower maximum heights to 125 feet. Photos of the views and all of these requests are listed in the Goose Hollow Foothill League letter, which we've given you copies of. Please vote for the average people and not to those who stand to gain the most financially.
Thank you.
Thank you for
your testimony.
Thank you.
The next three are Roger Leachman, Patty Tillett, and Dan Petrosic. They'll be followed by 116, 117, and 118, Jackie Peterson Loomis, Patricia Gardner, and Tina Wyszynski.
Would you like to start?
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. My name is Roger Leachman. I live on Southwest Vista, and I serve on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. The neighborhood's concerns are clear from our detailed letter and from the testimony of the citizens. I would point out that we are elected by these neighborhood citizens to serve them. We put in hundreds of hours. We don't get paid, and we don't have paid staff. This is grassroots democracy at its most local. For such unpaid advocacy, we get to be called racist NIMBYs, to answer legal threats from a city-funded group, to be publicly denigrated and defamed by the president of Neighbors West Northwest, and more and more. But, bottom line, none of us get millions from our advocacy, and we don't have conflicts of interest. Bottom line, the absentee property owners, architects, developers, and real estate interests stand to gain millions by their advocacy and had manifest conflicts of interest in their domination of the West Quadrant recommendations. I'm not going to belabor that further. You've heard so much already. The view corridors that so many have testified about are a public benefit and are iconic, as many have said. But in the existing recommendations, the corridors, as Bill Failing said last Thursday, are being manipulated for developers' benefit so that private profit trumps the public good, pun intended, because it's certainly a concept he would endorse. It's not hard, it would not be difficult or far-reaching to make the adjustments to maintain the public good. A rich few would still make millions, just some millions less. So please do the right thing. Otherwise, it would be like the original planned and executed view from Jefferson's Rotunda to the Blue Ridge. Gone, gone, gone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councillors. I'm Paddy Tillett, and I'm appearing on behalf of the Parks Board. We submitted a letter on the 5th of September, and I'll just hit on the highlights of that. As you probably know, the Board has previously testified in support of the Central City Plan 2035 and generally supports the plan as now drafted. We reiterate our support for the goals and policies to protect and enhance parks, recreational facilities, and open spaces, and we strongly support the urban design concept to reconnect with the Willamette River. It's a very important aspect of the plan. We also support the recognition of the distinct characteristics of each of the 10 districts in the central city plan. Among the goals and policies that the board calls out for specific support are enhancing the Willamette for people and wildlife, the concept of the green loop, complete neighbourhoods, including parks, open space and recreational opportunities, promoting healthy and active living, and expanding the open space network through signature open spaces, new parks, open spaces, and expanded opportunities in existing parks. In terms of code amendments, the Parks Board endorses the proposed revisions to section 510.115 regarding additional uses allowed in open space zones. The board worked closely with Parks and Recreation and with the Planning and Sustainability staff to reach an amicable agreement on how to deal with this. The notion is to allow limited retail sales and services in parks within the central city zoned open space. They're used in a very different way from parks elsewhere in the city. And an important aspect of this is the confidence of people who are using the park that there are eyes of the public upon them. So that's something particularly important. The other points I shall have to leave to the letter.
Very good. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Love your accent.
Hi, I'm Dan Petrosich, and pleased to be here, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm a managing member of Jefferson Holdings, and we own a property at Southwest Jefferson and 18th Street. I'd like to address the testimony of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. GHFL claims that I use my position on the Portland Business Alliance as the Portland Business Alliance representative on the West Quadrant Stakeholders Committee to influence the decision to increase the height limit on our property. This claim is not only false, but would have been impossible. The SAC committee's last meeting was in September of 2014. The staff solicited comments on scenic resources, including the Vista Bridge, more than 6 months later in the spring of 2015. West Quadrant SAC and scenic resources reviewed occurred at different times and had different purposes. I submitted Jefferson Holdings' first comments on May 29, 2015. Please ask the staff to verify the dates. GHFL wants you to rely on the images they created. These images are misleading and inaccurate, showing a building on our site at 130 feet. The staff and PSC approved a maximum height of only 75 feet. Please rely on the staff images that show the heights along Jefferson that will result in development that's both consistent with Goose Hollow character and meets the city's goal for increased density. Our 100-year-old unreinforced masonry warehouse is directly across the street from the MaxLite rail station, which is an ideal site for transit-oriented development. The proposed height would allow a 5-over-1 residential structure, which is very common in the central city and Goose Hollow. And by the way, TriMet has endorsed our height adjustment. The current board stands in opposition to development, business, and property rights. The most recent example is their appeal to press blocks and their continued attempt to significantly lower height limits that have existed for more than 30 years. Please move forward with CC 2030 plan as written. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, it's getting kind of late, so I'm not sure. That's probably why I don't understand what you just said, but it sounded like you said that the height wasn't increased and yet there's more density. So was it still 75 feet? Was there a change in height on that property?
Yes. It went from most of the site's 100 feet. Part of it's 45 feet, and they raised it 30 feet to 75 feet.
Okay, and that's the piece that's in dispute that may or may not affect the view to the bridge. Is that correct? Am I understanding that correct? Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, can I do a time check, Carla? And thank you for your testimony. Sure. How many people do we still have remaining?
I show 20.
Okay. So there is no way we're going to get through all 20 because we lose our quorum fairly quickly. So why don't we take testimony for about 10 more minutes? Is that okay with folks? Do we have a quorum for the next 10 minutes? So let's do two more sets of three, and then we'll hold it over.
Okay. The next three are Jackie Peterson-Loomis, Patricia Gardner, and Tina Wysinski. And then the last three will be Gwen Baldwin, Susan Pierce, and Emma Pellet.
And colleagues, I'll let you stew on this. What I'd like to do is continue the hearing when we're done until September 20th on all of these items, 1022, 1023, and 1024, but only for people who signed up to speak as of today. In other words, if people who are signed up today don't get the opportunity to speak, then they will be the ones who have the opportunity to speak on September 20th. We'll obviously keep the written record open, but that would be my recommendation out of respect to people who have been very, very patient and have signed up and have been here and have not had the opportunity to testify.
And would that be in the afternoon?
That would be 3 p.m. time certain on September 20th.
So I have an existing obligation at 6 that I'd need to get to if I can't get out of it.
Just we should it sounds like we should be able
okay.
to. Yeah, good. All right, good afternoon.
Okay, my name is Patty Gardner. The first part of my testimony is on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. I was personally honored to represent the PDNA throughout the West Quadrant Plan 7 years. Was it really 7 years of effort there? In general, we're supportive of many of the proposals for the Pearl District, including the Green Loop, which was vitally important for all the people in our neighborhood, as well as the commuters who come from the east side and all the diverse elements who use the Broadway bridge to get into the city. We are also in favor of the elimination of the bonuses within the 13th Avenue Historic District, as well as the elimination of most of the bonuses, including this and the addition of the historic resource bonus and the affordable housing bonus. There were a few items that needed some adjustment. I've put in a letter, which you can read in detail. But specifically, we went through the North of Lovejoy process, and there were some things that were supposed to come south of Lovejoy that were, this is the process that we were told would make that happen. And so we're trying to get those elements south of Lovejoy to affect the whole Pearl. So on a personal note, I've been listening to all of the testimony, so I feel very much for you. And one thing I just wanted to think, I've been thinking about, this is a 25-year plan, and I have heard a lot of fear, and fear of change and fear of things that are coming up. And I just want to keep that thought process in mind. This is a 25-year plan, and it's crucial to the health of the city. We need a strong urban core. And I keep asking myself, if you cannot build urbanity in the central city, where are you going to build it? And the price of not embracing an urban future is that Portland is going to sprawl. And I'm sorry, but a traditional Portland block on the east side is about 30 units. A traditional Pearl District block is 200 units. You know, 150 to 200. That's a big difference, and that's what you get with extra FAR and height. So I urge you to keep all the generations in mind and keep that long vision ahead of, you know, when you're looking at this, that there is a long window ahead of you, and there are a lot of generations to come who need a strong urban Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My name is Tina Wysinski. I'm a resident of Goose Hollow, and I am the president of the Stadium District Business Association, which has boundaries and location in a good part of Goose Hollow. I'm here today to represent the businesses in the Stadium District and to say that as an organization, we fully support the current Central City 2035 plan as it is written. We owe it to the neighborhood. We owe it to the city, and we owe it to the region. So much public investment has been made in Goose Hollow, in the three MAX lines and in the stadium, it would be unpardonable not to maximize the number of people living and working and walking around and bike riding in this area. One last thing. As people push you to consider lowering height limits, I think you should know that several of these folks live in buildings that, according to their suggestions, would not be able to be built. They can live in tall buildings, but no one else can. Limiting heights in this area also limits the number of people who can move into this area and live in this area, and that seems unfair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess Gwen Baldwin left. Oh, yeah, you were in the last group, Gwen, sorry. And we'll go with Susan Pierce, and Emma Palat or Palette.
Emma.
Okay, thank you. How about Hathon Toulon?
Good afternoon. You can go ahead and start.
Thank you. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, for the record, I'm Gwen Baldwin here tonight, representing Oregon Locus, part of Smart Growth America's developer and investor coalition. Locus supports the overall approach of Central City 2035. The development framework is more objective and supports walkable urban housing and job growth, and that's a good thing, so long as there is certainty that the projects can actually get the additional FAR outlined in the framework and regulatory layers and costs are not amended in. The current FAR transfer requirement is what introduces uncertainty into whether a project can actually get the additional density needed to build beyond the base FAR and achieve the affordable housing and seismic support for historic properties the plan prioritizes, and we support. Locus has submitted written testimony that goes into more detail. But council should add certainty and remove the barrier of requiring site-to-site transfer for additional FAR by simply allowing FAR up to the height limit. In contrast, testimony given at the September 7th hearing would remove all certainty if landmarks and design review processes could remove height and FAR on a case-by-case basis. Simply put, the risk of FAR and height reductions during the review phase would directly conflict with the goal of maximizing affordable housing production, and Oregon Locus opposes any reductions to the FAR height through design or landmarks review. And because Oregon Locus supports making affordable housing and seismic resiliency bonuses work, we urge council to maintain the minimum FAR proposed in the draft and not increase minimums. It's important that council addresses the current uncertainty within the plan and ensures that future policies align with the density and height called for in the plan, especially when updating standards and guidelines. Thank you, and Oregon Locus looks forward to working with you all in finalizing this important guiding plan for the Central City.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. I'm Susan Pierce. I'm chair of Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood District Association, or HAND. I have brought hard copies. I sent an electronic copy, but I'm not at all convinced that it got to you. I just want to give some highlights. We look forward to mixed income, mixed commercial, and residential development in the Clinton Triangle, and we think that that would be an excellent place for the 18% set aside that of affordable low-income housing designated for this urban renewal area district. We very much advocate for maintenance and designation of sight lines both east and west. If buildings must be, we don't want a big blank wall. So if buildings must be tall, we would advocate for slender, so there's plenty of a space between them for air, sight, and light. I'm also a member of the Central East Side Transportation Parking Management Committee. HAND is very much in favor of the Green Loop, but we're not at all convinced that 7th Avenue is the best alignment, and more conversation needs to take place. We want to be at the table. I think 7th Avenue is a figment of Peabot's imagination. We advocate for safety on 11th and 12th Avenues, and think some conversation could take place for mixed modal bikes, peds, and freight. Is that the end?
No. For somebody it was. Yeah.
Somebody's going,
yeah. Where's the moon door?
We're very pleased to hear that TriMet thinks that we have funding for the Gideon Crossing Bridge that was lost in the Orange Line protection. That's very important for safety as well as connectivity between the neighborhoods. There's that big barrier that are all those railroad tracks. That was the end, right?
That was the end. That's great. Thank you for your testimony.
You are welcome, and I'll let you read for the written
details. Thank you, Mr. Toulon.
Mayor Wheeler and council members, thank you for your time. I'll keep this short since I'm the last one for the day. But I am Haitham Toulon. I own 306 Southeast Ivon Street. I'm the managing partner of OSB Toulon Management. I'm here to talk to you today about the view corridor restriction from the Tillicum Crossing, and it's taking my property from a 250-foot bonus down to 60 feet. This challenge, with the existing constraints that the site has from environmental and geotechnical, will make the site virtually undevelopable, leaving it feral at the time. If you look at the second and third pages of the handout you have, it shows the site and the constraints proposed in the 2035 plan. Along with the environmental overlay that encompasses more than half the site, I will not be able to find a suitable spot to build on it. However, with more planning and not taking a one-size-fits-all approach, we can connect the Greenway Trail to the Springwater Corridor. We can build a public beach and public park on the site and find a permanent home for Portland Boathouse as well. And that's pretty much where I'd like to be right now, and keep it short. So,
wise man, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Colleagues, there are only two people remaining from last week's list. Can we call them and see if they're here?
Sure.
Allison Reynolds and Evan Heitman.
I just want to say you have my favorite graffiti wall in the city. I just took a boat tour, and I took pictures of it.
And our plan is to maintain the seawall, so I would like to make it an art installation
that would be cool.
Future. So.
All right.
So is Allison, I'm sorry, who is the other?
Evan Heitman.
Okay, I don't see Evan.
May have left.
Very good. Allison, you get the last word today.
This is great. So I'm Allison Reynolds with Perkins Coie. We represent TR PacWest LLC, which owns the PacWest Tower at 1211 Southwest 5th Avenue in downtown. And we're asking the City Council to change the building's base FAR and height limit in order to make this iconic building conforming under the current zoning code. So specifically, we're asking for an increase in the building's base FAR from 12 to 1 to 15 to 1, and base height limit from 300 feet to 430 feet. The PacWest Tower was originally permitted in 1980 through a variance that allowed its FAR to be 14.2 to 1, and we've confirmed with the city through a zoning confirmation letter that the building was legally constructed within that FAR limit at the time, based on the way the city code actually counted floor area at that time. Under the way the city currently calculates floor area in a building, which does not include many of these 1980-era exclusions, the FAR is actually close to 15 to 1. And so the current FAR limit is 12 to 1, so the tower is non-conforming. And it is also at 428 feet, which was allowed in 1980, but is non-conforming under the current 300-foot height limit. So the FAR limit for this property is especially important to our client because they hope to remodel and modernize the building in a way that will, under the current code, technically add a nominal amount of floor area, such as enclosing some of the existing balconies with glass so they can be used year-round. But under the current code limit, our client would first need to true up the building by purchasing almost 120,000 square feet of FAR before it could add even a single foot of floor area to the building. And that is prohibitively expensive, as you can imagine, and needlessly restricts these relatively minor building changes. So, and as you probably know, having compliant FAR and height will also make future sale or refinancing for this building easier, since lenders and insurers often have some serious concerns with nonconformity.
And you're going to give us the written testimony?
I am actually going to submit a letter tomorrow, and that was my question. Since we're carrying over the rest, or I guess am I last and there's no one else left?
There were I think, 14 more people-ish who signed up.
Oh, got it.
Today, and we'll get to them next week.
So is written testimony due tomorrow?
So here's what I'm proposing to my colleagues, since you're prompting. I'm proposing that we continue the hearing to September 20th, 3 p.m., time certain, here at Portland City Hall. But that would only be for people who are currently signed up on the list, the people who came and signed up today. I'd like to extend the time for written testimony until Friday, the 22nd of September at 5 p.m.
Okay.
If my colleagues are okay with that strategy. It sounds like good. They are.
Yeah, so Commissioner Fitz, we'll be submitting something in writing that also includes all the exhibits that I referenced.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Very good. Thank you.
Once again, this has been very constructive and helpful. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Colleagues, anything else for the good of the order? Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.
I wonder what those sirens were. What the sirens were going.
No, I don't know. I didn't get any pages from that.
Yeah.